the goodness and compassion of God. He gives life and breath to those who use it to praise him. And he gives life and breath to those who use it to curse him. Now, here's what that means for us. Try to show kindness to all people, especially those whose beliefs may offend you or whose behavior may repulse you.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you can join us as we continue our series in the book of Jonah. And Colin, you bring up an important point in what we just heard a moment ago, that God in his mercy and in his grace really showers all of us with common grace.
Yeah, that's right. Every life is sustained by God.
Yeah.
Even the lives of those who are rebelling against him. I can't even rebel against God without being sustained, even in the act of rebellion. That's a great irony, isn't it?
Yeah.
And God, in his kindness and in his mercy, gives good gifts to all people. And that is called common grace, God's goodness to all.
You know, and Colin, I think the other thing that was so important that you pointed out here is that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes within the church, we may have the tendency to condemn those outside, quickly point out the fact that they're sinners and, you know, they need to repent, and we're going to take a hardline stance on certain issues. But so often, when we've sinned, we're then very quick to say, hey, I need mercy, I need grace.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's really kind of pointing out our perceived self-worth and our own selfishness.
Well, I think one of the things it points out is that we see sin as, you know, an occasional lapse. There's one or two sins now and again, and I had to confess them when I came to Christ, and now I'm really a pretty good person who's very much deserving of the love of God. That is a long way from a biblical view of sin. And we've been learning in Jonah, you know, the supposedly mature Christian, that there are layers in this man's life in which he finds himself again and again in need of the mercy of God. I need a Savior as much today, as we're recording this program, as I needed a Savior the day I came to Christ. And that will be true every day of my life until finally the work of grace is completed. So it's not as if there are sinners out there and we're in a different category. There's just that we are in the mercy of God, and that has an eternal transforming difference. That should give us a sensitivity to say, others need to be here too.
Absolutely. Well, if you can, hope that you'll open your Bible to the book of Jonah, chapter 4, as we continue to look at God's mercy, God's grace, and how we need to extend that as well. Here's Pastor Colin.
We've been seeing that throughout this book, there really is the theme of Jonah confessing that although he was widely known as a marvelous prophet, he really spent much of his life avoiding the God he set out to serve. And many of us, I think, are finding that we are a lot like Jonah, and seeing ourselves mirrored in him, that we find a new desire to change and to grow. I think the book also encourages us by the very clear way in which it conveys that God never lets his children go, that we may wander from him in many ways. We may go through periods of great hardness of heart. And yet when God sets his love on you, he will never, never, never let you go. And that also is Jonah's testimony to us. Now, the verses at the end of chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, really focus in on this marvelous theme of the compassion of God that runs right throughout the book. The great irony, of course, is that although Jonah so obviously received God's mercy in his own life in many ways, he was curiously reluctant about that mercy coming to other people, especially the people of Nineveh. And we see in that, I think, that it is possible to be genuinely grateful for your own salvation and yet curiously disinterested in the salvation of other people. And that is really the issue that God is addressing in Jonah's life in these last verses of chapter 4. He is teaching Jonah compassion as God himself has compassion. Now, the theme of compassion, we pick it really up in chapter 3 and verse 10, where God saw what the people of Nineveh did when they turned from their evil ways. And it says there, he had compassion on them. and he did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. And then you remember in chapter 4 and verse 2 that we saw earlier, Jonah picks up a complaint against God, and he says, "Oh God, I knew that you are gracious, and I knew that you're compassionate." And that, of course, was Jonah's complaint. "You are a gracious and compassionate God," he says. But Jonah was not a gracious and compassionate prophet. And so we're seeing that there was a huge contrast between the heart of God and the heart of Jonah. This comes home in chapter 3 and verse 11, where God says, "Nineveh has more than 120,000 people. Should I not be concerned about that great city?" God is concerned about the city. 120,000 people and more, he says. "And when I look at the vast population of the city, Jonah, these people matter to me, and they ought to matter to you." But the truth is actually that Jonah is not concerned about the city. What is Jonah concerned about? Verse 10, he is concerned about the vine. The vine, of course, was the good gift from God. We saw that last week. God had brought comfort and blessing and joy to Jonah. And so the contrast is very striking here as you look at that word concerned that comes in verse 10 and then in verse 11. God is concerned about the city, verse 11. Jonah is concerned about the vine, verse 10. I want you to think about that. Jonah concerned about the vine. God concerned about the city. We're all concerned about the vine. We're all concerned, and this is a natural thing, and there is nothing wrong with it. We are all concerned with the things of this life and the things that affect us very directly and very deeply in this world. We are concerned about our jobs. We're concerned about our homes. We're concerned about our investments. We're concerned about our health. We're concerned about our plans for the future. We're concerned about the vine. We're concerned about the things that are very real to us and significantly affect us in our experience of life in this world. Not wrong to be concerned about the vine. But here's God's question surely for us today. Okay, you're concerned about the vine. Do you share my concern also about the city? That's the question that comes from verse 11. In all the thoughts that are running through our minds in these days about our own daily life and the things that affect us in this material world, do we care deeply as God cares deeply about the millions of people in our city who do not yet have saving faith in Jesus Christ? That's the contrast. Jonah, you're concerned about the vine. I'm concerned about the city. More than 120,000 people in Nineveh, folks, in our city, about which God also cares, more than 9.5 million people in this great city in which God has placed us and its surrounding area. And many of them do not yet have saving faith in Jesus Christ. And God cares for this city. And surely that is the question that directly comes out of Jonah and chapter 4 for us. If we share God's heart, we will care not only about the vine, but about this city as well. So here's the great contrast, or the first great contrast. Jonah is concerned about the vine. God is concerned about the city. It is so easy for us as Christian people, living in this world with all its pressures that are very real, to become so concerned about the vine and yet strangely unmoved by the plight of millions of people, think about this, who face eternity with the worm and the wind. And that's the question that God is raising for Jonah at the end of chapter 4. And I think for us it raises a very obvious question, because surely all of us will see in some measure ourselves in Jonah here. And we will therefore ask this question that comes directly from this passage: how then can I grow in compassion? How can I become less like Jonah and more like Jesus? How can I be less self-absorbed and share the heart of God in relation to not just thousands, but in our case, millions of people in the city that we love, in which he has placed us, who do not yet know him? How can I have a larger heart? How can I care more? How can I grow in compassion?
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Receive God's Mercy, part of our series in the book of Jonah, and we're going to pause here, but we'll get back to the message in just a moment, so I hope you'll stay with us. If you joined us late, ever have to leave early, or you ever want to go back and listen to a broadcast again, you can do that at our website. Just come to openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen if you have the Open the Bible app. That's free at your app store, and that's a great way to listen on demand whenever it fits your schedule. One other way to listen to Pastor Colin's teaching, that's to order a copy of this entire series on CD. The series is called How to Avoid a God-Centered Life, based on the life of Jonah. Ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported program. We're able to be on the station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book that Pastor Colin has picked out. It's called Spiritual Depression, Its Causes and Its Cure. It's written by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And this is one of Pastor Colin's favorite books, top three, and he's on his third copy. We'd love to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. Again, that's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, I want to suggest three ways in which we may grow in compassion, and then we'll ask that the Lord would do these things in our hearts. They all arise directly from the passage here. Three ways in which you can grow in compassion that better reflects the heart of God. Here's the first. You can grow in compassion, you will grow in compassion as you rejoice in God's unique creation. Now, I want you to see that in verse 10. God says to Jonah, "You have been concerned about the vine, even though you did not tend it or make it grow." Now, the point here, of course, is that God did make the vine grow. God gave life to the vine, and he also gave life to the 120,000 people and more in the city. And the case that God is putting to Jonah, the argument that God is putting to Jonah, is simply this at this point. If Jonah cared about the God-given life of the vine, how much more should he care about the God-given lives of the 120,000 people in Nineveh? It's the argument from the creative power of God. And it reminds us, therefore, that every person that you ever meet in your entire life is a unique creation of God. Think of this. God never made two snowflakes the same, and he certainly never made two people the same. Every person you meet, get to know, brush up against in a line in the grocery store is a unique creation of God. There is no one else exactly like that person, never has been and never will be. By the way, isn't that why people are so interesting? Every person you ever meet is a unique creation of God, the work of his hand. So when you sit down next to someone on a train, or you're in line in a grocery store, or someone else is at the next desk at school, or the next area or desk at work, or whatever it is, you might find it helpful to say to yourself something like this. You know, God made this person. And there is no one else quite like this person in all of the world, never has been and never will be. God cares about this person. And right now, in God's amazing providence, he has put me right next to this person, so I should care about this person too. This is a very simple and yet very wonderful thing. Take an interest in people, and it will expand your heart. You will grow in compassion. Instead of just ignoring someone God has placed you next to, take an interest in that person because that person is a unique creation of God, and in that moment of time, God has placed you right next to them. Every person you ever meet is a unique creation of God. By the way, that is true even of the worst people that you meet. Remember, Nineveh was known for torture and terror and violence. These people were notorious from their wickedness. Remember, right in the first verse God says of the book, God says that their wickedness had come up before him. And yet God says about these people that he has compassion on them. And he says in verse 11, should I not be concerned for this great city? By the way, the glory of God is seen in the scope of his compassion. Psalm 145 and verse 9. The Lord is good to all. The Lord has compassion on all that he has made. His compassion is as wide as his creation. There is no person so bad, so wicked, so evil that God does not have compassion for them. And we want to grow in reflecting that heart of God. By the way, this does not mean that God will save all people, but it does mean that God cares about all people. Think about this. God cares about his enemies as well as his friends. The Lord loves his enemies. The Lord does good to those who hate him. The Lord causes, Jesus says this in Matthew 5:45, he causes the sun to rise on the evil as well as the good, and he sends the rain on the unrighteous as well as the righteous. It was while we were still sinners that Jesus Christ died for us. Think about this, the goodness and compassion of God. He gives life and breath to those who use it to praise him, and he gives life and breath to those who use it to curse him. Every atheist is sustained every moment by the mercy of God. Isn't that an amazing thought? Now, here's what that means for us. Try to show kindness to all people, especially those whose beliefs may offend you or whose behavior may repulse you. Because if you do that, you particularly reflect the heart of God. This is what God does. He has compassion on all he has made. That is every human person, the worst you can think of. How do you grow in compassion? Here's the first way. You rejoice in God's creation. You remember he's the creator. Take an interest in people. Every person you meet is an absolutely unique, marvelous, glorious creation of God. Here's the second way to grow in compassion. Reflect on the human condition. The first way is to rejoice in God's unique creation. The second way is to reflect on our human condition. Notice this in verse 11. Nineveh has more than 120,000 people, God says, who cannot tell their right hand from their left. And then he says, should I not be concerned about this great city? Cannot tell their right hand from their left. Now, as we mentioned before, it is possible that this could be a reference to young children. It could be there's 120,000 young children in the city. They're so young, they've not even got to the point of development where they can tell right from left. But I think, and it seems that this is the consensus, at least of those that I've read, the scholars on Jonah and so forth, it seems much more likely that this is a description of people who have lost their moral compass. In other words, people who are no longer able to discern well between good and evil or between right and wrong. And you say, well, why would that be not knowing your right from your left? Well, just think of it this way. We use right and left to give direction. You're telling someone how to get to your house. You know, you say, well, you go down the street, you take the third on the left, it's the fourth on the right, around the corner, and then you'll find it on the right-hand side. Now, someone who doesn't know their right from their left will not be able to follow your instructions, your directions. And what will happen if they don't know their right from their left is that they'll go the opposite way around and they will soon become completely, hopelessly, and utterly lost. Now, I think that's the meaning here. And God is saying, because they have lost their moral compass, because they have no idea of right and wrong, because they are so sunk in the... culture of violence that pervades their city. They cannot tell their right hand from their left. Should I not be concerned? Should I not have compassion with regards to this great city? And that's why I say that reflecting on the human condition will help you to grow in compassion, because it seems to me that that is the force of what God is saying here in verse 11. Here are people who cannot tell good from evil. Here are people who confuse them. Isaiah 5:20, they call evil good, they call good evil. They are completely and utterly lost, God says, and I have compassion for them. Now, let's reflect then for a moment on the human condition. What does the Bible say about the human condition? What is the effect of sin in human lives? Now, the Bible describes this in many ways, but let me just give to you three, which are probably an easy way to remember it and to get it lodged in our minds and hearts. The Bible describes our human condition, our fallen condition, first in terms of blindness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the god of this world, that is Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Secondly, our human condition is described as slavery. I hear the words of Jesus from John chapter 8 and verse 34. I tell you the truth, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Again, that slavery is real. What does it mean? It means that the sinner cannot stop sinning. Slavery. He does not have the power to do so. He may be able to change one particular form of sin for another, to move from one brand to another, as it were, but he cannot stop being a sinner. Thirdly, the Bible describes our fallen human condition in terms of death. That is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins. And again, that death is real. By nature, we are unresponsive to God. We do not have the capacity to change our relationship with him. And that, of course, is why Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's a very simple way just to reflect on the human condition. What is the effect of sin in the human race, in the life of every person born into the world? Here's our condition: blind, slaves, dead.
Well, unfortunately, we do have to hit the pause button right there, but we'll continue this message, Receive God's Mercy, next time here on Open the Bible. And if you ever miss a broadcast in our series, come and listen online at openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at openthebible.org. You know, Colin, you bring up an important point in today's message, and I think one that I identify with and probably all of us can identify with. When I am focused on my own pain, my own perceived injustices, ways that I've been hurt, I'm not going to be extending and showing compassion like I need to. And I think a big part of what we need to do, like you're pointing out here, is to get our eyes off ourselves and put them where they belong.
And that is extremely hard to do, because the culture around us is always saying it's about you, you know, you this, that, and the other. And so we kind of, we absorb that and we say, well, yes, and we start looking into ourselves. And God cuts right through that. He says to Jonah, now you're concerned about the vine. You're concerned about your own stuff. I'm concerned about the city. Jonah needs to become more like the Lord. I need to become more like the Lord.
We all do.
We're seeing ourselves in Jonah here again. And God has this great compassion. You know, here's the word of the Lord applied to your life today. If you're feeling absorbed in your own problems, can you look out to someone else? Can you take an interest in someone else? It will help you. It will bless you. Steve, a pastor in my own church back in Scotland used to say, on one of these grey days where you're feeling absolutely miserable, he said, what I'd do is I'd go to the hospital and go visit someone in great need, and it would lift my spirit. Reach out and serve someone else as part of the joy of fellowship together in the church.
It absolutely is. Well, thank you, Colin. Again, today's message is called Receive God's Mercy, and we're going to continue next time. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can listen online at openthebible.org or through the Open the Bible app. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported ministry of Open the Bible.
Fly Through the Bible is a short, simple, and shareable book that you can use with a friend, a neighbor, or a loved one who needs to know Jesus. It's also freely available online. Fly Through the Bible will introduce you to five people in the Old Testament, five events in the life of Jesus, and five gifts God gives to every believer. You could ask a friend to read Fly Through the Bible with you. The book has 15 chapters. You could read a chapter and meet together over coffee and discuss the questions. Fly Through the Bible is designed to help you open the Bible with others. It will give you a better grasp of the Bible story, and most of all, it will help you to grow in your love for Jesus Christ. For more information, visit openthebible.org/fly. That's openthebible.org/fly.